Okay, recorder's on.
All right, let's call our meeting to order at 18:30. Daniel, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Of course. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Kurt and Mark are not here. Are they online?
Mark was going to try to do it online.
He's not here yet.
Is Ari sure and you?
Okay.
Is Ari and you?
Yeah, those are reading notes.
Oh, okay.
It's the AI stuff.
Okay. Did everybody have a chance to look at the January 14th minutes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion to approve?
I motion we approve January 14th, 2026 minutes.
Okay.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right, Chief, monthly status report.
Okay, it will be brief. Our current run number is 176. Last year on this date was 179. We have done a hard conversion to NARIS, which is the National Emergency Reporting Incident
Information System,
Which moves us away from the National Fire Incident Reporting System.
Okay.
Which they
canceled. Mark said he's in the waiting room.
Yeah. I was just going to tell you, Cassandra, and Mark's in the waiting room.
Oh, okay.
And doing that, all of our reporting system has gotten screwed up. So I can't just pull up my reports that I normally do. So, that's
you
as much as you get.
You don't have a whiteboard? You just do a hash mark every...
Yes.
Come back and do a ticky mark so, on?
Or? Yeah.
It's complicated.
Okay.
I do know that we've had several wind events. We've had tractor trailer rollovers. We've had injuries. We've been on I-80 18 times. And there was a... Chief Brown and I went to what's called a TIM coalition meeting, which is a traffic incident management coalition meeting. So it's UHP and it's all the fire agencies. And we all went out and they had a case study of a alcohol involved tractor trailer over tipped over, spilled alcohol everywhere. And they talked about how we need to contact the Division of Alcohol and Beverage Services. And we need to contact the State Bureau of Investigation. And the very next day...
We?
Yes, as the EIC, if we're on an incident that involves alcohol. And they need to make sure that we have given all that information over to them because they don't know when all the alcohol transports through the system or through the state. And... So the very next day, we had a tractor trailer fire at the mile marker 80 with 41,000 pounds of wine in it.
Nice.
And we notified them. I don't know what they did with it. UHP was there. But you were there. You made sure they were there when you opened up
the trailer.
The trailer. Yeah. Because the trailer was on fire. But anyhow, accomplishments. Winter Fire School, we had 6 students. Kurt was one of the instructors with me, so definitely recognizing Kurt. Recruit Academy has done their first 7 weeks. We've got 9 students in there. We had an EMS refresher. The EMS refresher was done by Mountain West Ambulance, and there were 6 of us scattered throughout that. I went to a wildland mitigation class to set us up for this summer a little bit better for doing home assessments, understanding House Bill 48 and how that affects us. Class A uniforms other than the admin staff has been pretty much identified and brought to all the firefighters. Now it's a matter of people like Steve and you guys if you want Class A uniforms, and it's time to bring you guys in and get you measured as well. Chief Brown and Buck went to the Fire Service Caucus breakfast to meet legislatures and Would you give that a failing grade?
It was a big F. The only person that had a representative at their table was us, and that was because Buck knew Nicolene Peck and called her and said, "Hey, Rooker, come have breakfast," and she ran out.
So who took Daniel Thatcher's place?
He's still there.
He's still, I think it's his
did
last
they split
year.
It? Oh, so did they split him already away from us?
Yeah. Never showed up.
We held an in-basket exercise for the captains, which is basically a prioritization, time management, testing some of their skills. We worked it through our HR consultant. So she came in and did that exercise for us. In terms of accomplishments, I thought Buck would be here, but he might still come. But movement on the station, the new station out at Burmester, where Rick came and saw us or helped us in December. We're drawing up ownership documents right now.
That's awesome.
So that's cool. Within the next 12 to 14 months, we expect us, we might have the only structure sitting out there.
That's awesome.
So that's been...
Where is it going to be?
Burmester and I-80.
On the...
Sorry,
east
on,
side?
On the south side.
South side.
Yeah. South side of I-80. So that's a big accomplishment, and we're kind of playing that day by day.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It might change a lot of our I-80 response statistics.
You said 18 incidents. Is that since our last meeting, or is that 2026?
No, that's since our last meeting.
Since our last meeting. Okay.
Yep. We've got an instructor class this Friday coming, Friday and Saturday. We got a lot of training coming up for everybody throughout the year. We have a new dispatching system coming. To automated, so you'll hear that coming through someday. We're prepping for wildland season. As you can tell, Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas are on fire right now.
Saratoga Springs already had one.
Yeah, 10-acre fire, yeah. And so this might help a little bit.
Yeah.
We've got a Wildland Urban Interface Conference in Reno. I'll be presenting that with Dan Walton. And I'm going to be gone next week on a cruise.
So, good for you.
Fun.
You guys, any questions?
Nope.
The trailer fire made the front page of the bulletin.
I have no doubt.
With your fire truck.
There was lots of
comments. None of you guys get the bulletin, right?
I do. I just didn't have a graphic.
Dozens of people saw it. Dozens.
Yeah.
Dozens.
It was online, and then the bulletin made it. It gets shipped here, doesn't it? Don't they come in the mail?
Okay.
So, all I got.
Okay, awesome. All right, thanks, Chief. Buck is not here. Kim, do you want to give us the Grant Projects monthly report?
Sure. I actually asked Cassandra if we could leave the board up. Cassandra, we had a meeting today with admin, and so they kind of asked what I was working on and submitting. So we know about the SAFER and the Community Wildfire Defense Grant. We got the license plate grant. We are going to get some volunteer helmets and their books for Academy with it. I think you saw the picture in front of you that the top five in the class. We have four of the top five in the class.
That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome. We're working on the Wildland PC commitment. So we're reporting on what we did last year, and then we will see what we have to pledge to commit 2026. The BAMS grant, we need to submit by June, and that is funding that we get usually between $3,000 to $5,000, but we need to submit by the end of June. But we negotiate right now. We submitted, so we'll find out how much we get. forestry, fire, and state lands, so the FFSL, that needs to be submitted next week. It's usually up to $10,000, so we will be looking at trying to outfit our folks that go on deployment with better wetland PPE if we get that grant. So that's what I've been working with Captain Gans on that, and so we'll try to see if we can get those that go out on that to get that. BLM, I'll need to talk to Chief, but they have apparatus that we can get again. I don't know if we're going to want any. We can try, so we'll see for that. The outdoor rec grant, we finally, the Stokes basket, we were waiting for it to be delivered, and I guess it was delivered to 176 Country Club.
Oh.
And luckily it was still there.
In November.
So I couldn't submit that until I got the last product. So.
Some people's kids.
Yeah. I mean, it was huge. I don't know how it sat there, and it said North Tola Fire, but anyway. Oh. So we got that, and so we're waiting for that. I applied for the Tola County Tourism Grant. Chief wrote for an grant for an ox truck, and so I just kind of use that same language, and so I'm asking the tourism grant to help pay for a brand new ox truck to respond to I-80 and out to the West Desert for people to recreate in our area. So I thought that was an appropriate ask, and so at the very least we can say we are trying to exhaust all resources to get any funding from the county to supplement us. Road to Zero is a national one. I wrote for an incident truck again. I tried to reword it. It's just a really hard one to get. The mental health grant, we will be meeting with Joe and going over some mental health policies the beginning of March. Rocky Mountain Power, we applied. They had a mental health grant. They have grants kind of quarterly, so I'll keep an eye on them. They had a mental health grant, and I know that I tried to get a stair stepper before, and I would like to get a stair stepper. The crew would like to be able to wear their PPE and work out on a stair stepper, so I think that would be kind of cool. So hopefully we can get that. Mark isn't here, but...
He's online now.
Oh, hi, Mark. The Rural Health Grant, I sat in on a meeting last week, and so we're just waiting for legislation to release the funds and for applying, and that is 5 years for 3 paramedics, 1 each shift, $2.25 million. So hopefully we can get that for 5 years. And then Cassandra, Chief, and I have been working on the job description for the seasonal specialists this year, or I called it a guy and they didn't like
mitigation.
Mitigation.
Specialist.
So we're looking at possibly just one person this year just because of the way the funding is, so we won't be doing 2 seasonals. So that's just some of the stuff I'm working on. I don't know if you have any questions.
No, thank you so much. That's great. Okay. Awesome. It's time for our first public comment.
Do have one recognition that we didn't know, so it's not on the agenda. So I'd like to give this to Noah for his Wildland Firefighter 1.
Thanks, Ken.
Considering you went out like all summer last year.
Yeah. You have a task book, Noah?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Congratulations, that's awesome. Does anybody online have any comments?
Oh, right there.
I haven't commented in a while.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
First off, I've been off for the last 2 weeks on vacation, and thank you very much. I really had a good time. But I need to send a congratulations or good job to my crew. Bisha was the ones that were first in on the semi-truck fire out on I-80. They rocked it like a boss, so I figured what better place to show congratulations to my guys is in front of the public. The public needs to know what we do, and I'm a firm believer in that. Another thing I'd like to touch on, is recruitment and retention. We talk about that a lot in the fire service. Chief and Kim have talked about the Recruit Academy. Recruitment is huge, especially for what we're doing now, and it's a big deal for our growth, which is coming, whether we like it or not.
I think that's Buck's.
But it is only one aspect of this, and that aspect, both of those two aspects, are completely different and distinct. I would like to comment on what you guys had been talking about with our involvement in Utah retirement systems and our health insurance, our involvement in URS, the ability for us to have our contributions matched is big as far as retention. We don't speak of retention a whole lot, but I think it's important that we recognize what we are doing and how important that is to us, especially myself, where I'm getting closer and closer to that magic little number that dangles out there on the end of that stick. So thank you very much. I just wanted to put that out there.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, the next is Bill's review.
Did everybody have a chance to go over the bills?
Yep.
Any questions?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Mark. No questions. Okay, next is contract review, Tooele County Special Operations MOU review.
This is brand new. Their special operations crew has kind of spun up over the last year and a half. They're gathering equipment and vehicles and trailers, and this is hazardous materials response. It's cleanup response. It's ice water rescue. It's just additional resources.
So this is what Harry and Herman used to do before they cut it.
I am not sure.
Yeah. They're way before you.
Okay. Yeah. So
they've been doing something a little different in the meantime. We've still been getting the mitigation money, but this
right. So it's just an additional resource, and to kind of test the waters there, I called them on January 1st. Actually, I called them on December 31st, nice. New Year's Eve, and said, "Hey, we don't have anybody who's signed up for our ice water challenge. We've got the duty crew. We've got a couple of volunteers, but I don't have anybody specialist." I called them, and they were happy to come send two people, send three actually. And so we called them basically at a last minute notice. And as they have been piecing together everything, they've asked us to sign an MOU, and I'm okay with that. So I just wanted you to know that I've read it. It doesn't encumber us to any finances or them to any finances. It's very, it's a very basic agreement saying, hey, when you need us, call us. So as you see, like John referenced in posting to Facebook, on New Year's Day, he reached out and he said, "Hey, special shout out to the Tooele County Special Operations. They came and helped us." So, as you see more of that, and I really don't know because they're not staffed, they're not funded very well. It's just extra resources that we may need.
We used to house all their equipment.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And that, they
who
did
oversees that EOC.
Yeah, the EOC, and Anthony Bott is the guy who's over it, who's the county fire marshal. So, I just wanted you guys to be aware of things that are new that we're signing agreements with, and we don't quite know where it'll all go, but figure you guys should know.
Okay. Old business, updated URS service agreement to include the Roth 401k, the Roth 457b, and discussion of an employer match.
So we brought this up last month. The URS is offering Roth 401k and 457. There were some questions that you guys had, so I sent you an information sheet. Kaylee, I'm going to share real quick. I think it's I made an information sheet to kind of answer some of the commonly asked questions. So why are they offering it now? Because it's part of a new federal retirement law updates under the 2022 Secure Act. URS is modernizing their basically their whole platform. So between March 6th and March 31st, we won't even have access to it because they're completely changing over. So that's one of the reasons they're doing this. And they are putting it in because it just kind of goes along with what everybody else in the country is doing. So the difference is that traditionals, your traditional 401k, 457, your contributions are pre-taxed. Taxable income is reduced today. Your investments grow tax-deferred. And your withdrawals, when you take a withdrawal, it's taxed as income. So pre-tax today, tax when you pull it out. On the new Roths, contributions are after-tax, no tax deductions, investments grow tax-free, and withdrawals are tax-free. So there's no tax on this. Both plan types have the same IRS contribution limits, meaning that every year the IRS comes out with new maximum amounts. So, you know, for what 1 year it may be, you can put $8,500 in with $1,000 extra if you're over age 50. The next year they may say you can put $8,750 in. You know, they come out with different amounts. So those amounts are going to still be subject to IRS rule. Why employees might like it, tax diversification in retirement. Obviously, it's a really big incentive because it's all tax-free. Protection against future potential tax increases, more flexibility. Just so you understand, offering the Roth does not increase the cost to the district because it's solely on, this part right here is solely on employee contributions. Okay, so that does not create a cost for us. If we opt to do an employer match, then we do have a cost, just our match part. So under our current structure right now, we contribute 2% to the elective deferral savings plans, to the 401k and the 457. I'll say up to 2%. The employer match, on the traditional, the employer match is pre-tax. Employees do not pay tax on the match now, but they do pay taxes on the match when the money is withdrawn in retirement. Okay. And then for the match for these ones, the district, you know, we still contribute the full amount. It's deposited into the Roth account. However, it is treated as taxable income to the employee in the year contributed, which means it will go on their W-2, and we have to pull taxes out of it now.
Right.
So it's pre-taxed employer contribution only.
Yep.
But that way when they pull it out, there's no tax. Okay. Which means for us in payroll, we are going to have to, you know, we'll have to set up two different types of, of matches. So as an example, just to see, because I was like, okay, well, if we're pulling taxes out, do they only get the net amount? No. If their salary is $4,000, they put in 2%, we put in 2%, so the employer match would be $80. We tax that $80, but they still get the full $80 in their match.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Important differences, if the match is adopted, out of the taxable wages, we went over that. The employer match remains pre-tax, no change to paycheck withholding, and a no additional employer FICA. Okay, so we don't pay the employer part of the FICA, we just have to submit the employee's part of the FICA to the IRS. Matching for all plans, so right now obviously we do the traditional 401k, 457. We can match the Roth 401k and Roth 457. I know there was some questions last month because in the past you could not do an employer match to a Roth at all.
Yeah, right.
But IRS laws have changed. That changed in 2022 with the Secure Act. So you can do an employer match to these two. you still cannot do an employer match to a traditional IRA or a traditional Roth IRA. Okay. And the reason being for those IRAs are individually owned accounts. They're not employer-sponsored matching plans as the IRS has set them up. So they are offered through the URS, but not necessarily managed by it like that. So some misunderstandings. I just kind of went through some common stuff. You can do the match because of the Secure 2.0. If the employer, the misunderstanding is the employer pays more tax if the match, if they match the Roth. That is not true. The district does not pay income tax, but the employer FICA applies if the match is Roth. Full amount of the match is deposited. Traditional IRAs cannot get the match. Let's see. So today, some decisions for you. You can approve Roth participation only without a match. That would give the employees the ability to participate in those, and that is no cost to the district at all. You can approve Roth participation and retain traditional employer match only. So we're only going to put a match on the regular 401k and 457, but not the Roth. You can approve everything. Approve participation in the Roth and extend the match to all four plans. Let's see.
What was the modified?
Yeah. So there was some questions last month about how we are doing our match. So last year, when you guys approved the match, the language that went in was up to 2%. It was not specified
combined
only 2%, period. So since then, we have been doing 2%. Per plan. If employees are in multiple plans, we are matching up to 2% per plan.
So if we want to change it to 2%.
To 2% only, then that's some of the modifications you can do. Okay. And I gave you both options today, and I gave you the switch for both.
Well, that would be,
because that was a big thing of your discussion last month.
I think that's where we brought up that would actually, if somebody was in every plan, they'd be up to 6% or
8%.
It depends on how they're doing it. So if I was only going to do 200 period, I could either diversify it out, put $50 in each plan, and I'm still only getting 2% on my $200. Now I want to add more over here, and it depends on how you think about it too, and how much they're doing. So it potentially could go
to 6%.
We couldn't do that.
I think we talked about it last time that it should just be a straight 2%.
You pick one program.
But if you want to diversify it and put, if 2% is $80 and you put 40 in Roth and 40 in 401k, that's okay. But we're not going to pay more than 2% of your match for each program.
I thought we were going to say you had to choose one program to get to 10%.
I'm okay with that.
I don't think you should do that. I think you should let the employees have it diversified if they want.
If they want to diversify it, but the max they can get is 2%.
Okay.
So if they want to do 401k, 457, they can do 1% here, 1% here, which equals 2%.
If we were to say do 2% to all,
to any, yeah, any of the plans,
can we afford that?
Right now, we only have nine employees contributing right now.
Yeah, but if...
Dude.
So.
Right? And do that?
Yes.
What's going on?
We've been beating on this drum for
it's free
over
money.
A year.
They need free money.
It's free money.
It is. You're leaving free money on the table. That's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. I would say we just do 2%. Because the problem is, if you do more, then if we do get to that point where we can't afford it, then how do you take it away?
Right.
Well, people start gaming.
The state does 2%, county does 2%, federal government is 2%.
And that may be, there was also some questions last last month about, well, you can only have one plant, but that's not true anymore either. You can have more than one plant.
Well, I have three plants with UTA retirement.
Yeah.
But so, contributor-wise, it was only my 401k.
So, but the state only allowed that. That's not a URS rule. The URS says you can have a match to all the plants that the IRS allows.
That's new since when I retired.
Yes, and that's why we're bringing this up, because the laws have changed since you guys were there. So we're trying to
use paper now.
Keep up with modern changes. So I don't know. Would it be something that you would consider maybe going up to 4% then, since we're having more plans now?
I would say 2%.
I feel embarrassed. That's all we can offer right now. But right now, that's our funding source. As we increase the industry and commercial, let's take a look at it again then. But right now, that's a liability.
She is really good at financial impact study. So I think, just my opinion, you obviously, but if you want to have her do a financial impact of 2, 4, 6, 8, see what it comes up with.
I think we should do that. If we can offer more, I'd like to offer more.
Because that's a morale killer at the county. Yeah. They used to offer 6, it's 3. And when they had the big purge, they started dropping out. People left and not come back because of that.
But we're only going to increase it if more people participate.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So if we get more people on board, you will maybe do 2% per plan.
Probably not per plan, but you can talk about it.
To me, 2% per plan is gaming the system.
Yeah.
So, I would.
Let's let them game the system.
Well, you know,
what do you mean?
Two here. We're up to 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of 4 straight across the board, or 2 straight across the board, or 3, or what have you. But you know, we're gonna run into some savvy financial people.
But it depends on how the match is approved.
Eventually,
if you want to allow them to have 2%.
I would say we do want to incentivize them, and we do want to give them money.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where, you know, you can only do so much without a tax increase and without other things. And I understand that. I was a state employee, too. I was only matched a certain amount, and I had to put more than that in. And I do understand it, and it'd be great if they'd give you more. Same with the state. When I joined, we got more percentage. And at that point, it dropped when they changed. Now they don't even give pension and other things for state employees.
My friend works for Bonneville County, Idaho. They match 11% on their retirement, and they still have people that will not participate in that, believe it or not. You'd be a millionaire by the time you walk out of there in 30 years.
So, Cassandra, if you could give us some costs for next month, and then let's go from there.
At least do our due diligence to look at it.
As far as amending the policies, then, are you still kind of back and forth on combined or percent per plan then? Because that'll dictate if we go over the policies today or go over them next month.
I think we go over them next month when Mark and Kurt are here.
Yeah.
But
they're both yours.
We got to get more people. Yeah. How many employees do we have?
16.
So we're barely over.
And we have half, 50%. I know the issue is most of them don't look at me at 60 years old and go, someday I'm going to be there and I'm going to need that income.
Well, they don't see me at a youthful 53.
About? Yeah. What?
What are you talking about?
Well, you do, Kurt, because you're my age.
Kurt, have you enrolled?
Yeah.
Okay.
The younger kids don't.
Kirk and I have been in this room. Kirk and I have done it since the very beginning.
That's great.
And the your compound interest that you're going to get from putting it in when you're 25 and you retire at 58.
It's just like a snowball.
Versus
exactly what it is.
I mean, I can see when I put it in at 25 and 10 years later, it was only a drop to what I have now. And these people need to look at it and go.
I think Kaylee's right. You are preaching.
We're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
We'll do a campaign and get the rest of them on by next month.
It'd be like if we said.
We did have a URS representative come out this month.
Okay.
Talk to
yes, that was.
And
there were some significant.
Did people join after that?
More join.
Does URS allow automatic enrollment 1%?
No.
And
oh, do you?
I think you can, but you have to. It has to be board approved.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well then.
Should we skip the
updates? We have Bach here now.
Yeah. So we don't need to do the policies.
Yeah, it's too late.
Oh, well, we do need to do one part of the policy,
okay.
But if you want to get to Buck,
yeah, well, let's do Buck first.
I apologize. My meeting with Lake Point ran long.
Do what you need to do.
I will do what I need to do. Awesome month. Did you guys talk about the fire station?
You yes. Talk more.
I will talk more about the fire station. We have been granted, gifted, blessed with the fire station out on Burmester. And works with the inland port that's out there. They've catered to most every one of our whims. We get to put it right out on Burmester, right close to the freeway. Six cabins, bays, pretty much everything that we've asked for.
Hot tub?
They haven't
asked
for that.
Did not ask for that.
We have marshlands next to it.
How many acres is it?
Inflatable. It's two acres. We did ask for a helipad. They kind of pushed back and said, well, if you really want a helipad, why don't you ask the agency that would fly into there to put the helipad in. But other than that, they've really been amenable
to
us.
Sure.
Burmester.
Okay.
You can see that. You have a more of a
first this one.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Thank you.
So it will be it will be our station. We'll own it when it's done. We've talked to our lawyer. They've talked to their lawyer. It's going to be a transfer from one government entity to another. There's no qualms about that by anyone so far. I don't see any issues in the future with it as well.
It's pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. It's going to be little or no cost to them. It'll all be done by investors and developers. So it's a boom. It's great. It's very, very, very simple.
It's a little small.
So this existing road right here, Buck, this is the lower entrance, the furthest north entrance for right
now.
So our
entrance will be just off of Burmester, and then we have... And then we'll have three or four entrances back into the park itself.
Yeah.
So this is the top one is Sunstone. This is GSL Road, and is only two of.
So Higley's
so
Road.
So Higley's further down here.
Okay.
Yep. So all of that they were initially wanted to put us inside the park. But that limited our access to I-80, and with us being right on Burmester, all we have to do is just swing back around.
Guys, I went to that meeting and they were so just accommodating. Whatever we wanted, they were great.
Exactly.
And this is what I mean. They need this too, so it's
yes.
It's not. Sure. Chief says you draw a 5-mile circle around that, and the access that we're going to have to everyone else, even into mutual aid with Grantsville, all the development that's going south of that, this is something that I've been begging for. This is the broken record that has been changed tracks. So we finally got some movement, and I'm very excited about it.
So the red road is an exit off of I-80, correct?
That goes to Burmester.
At the top
yep.
of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that 84, mile marker 84?
Yes.
Burmester.
88.
84 is the Mid-Valley Highway, right?
No.
No, that's 94.
No.
That's 94.
It's Grantsville.
So that's my big news. The only other thing, I sent over a thing for Chief to sign today. I want to... I'm a very budget-friendly kind of guy. Cheap is a good word. But there is a reporting system that most 90% of the fire stations in Utah participate in, and it requires the inspector of a building to report their inspections. So if someone goes to inspect a hood, to clean and inspect a hood, they have to report this to this matrix, and then we get for free access to that matrix. They have built-in reports for pre-incident surveys and stuff like that. So if our guys on the truck are going out to a place that's inspected, they can pull up this system. It will give the information that I have put in there for the pre-incident survey, and it will give details like how many hoods, how many sprinklers, the sprinkling system, yes, no, at no cost to us. The hesitancy that I had was that I didn't want the cost to be borne by the customer. And there is a cost that is going to be attributed to the customer. However, that cost is probably already being charged to those individuals. When State Fire goes in and does their inspection, they have a set fee, and part of that set fee is reporting to the service. And so it might get some of the smaller inspectors, for example, Desert Peak Fire Suppression. He probably doesn't have the system, and my job will be to let him know that he has to start charging his customers this line item. It's not a very large cost. It's like $5 for all the fire extinguishers, $5 for all the hoods. You know, so it's a minimal cost, but the benefits to us are huge. So I've sent that over to Chief for him to sign, and we'll start onboarding that.
Awesome.
Thanks for your time. Any questions for me?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, back to old business.
Okay, so the other thing is, we have the Tier 2 pickup increase by the URS again. So this year, it is going from, the URS did their preliminary contribution rates for the public safety and firefighter systems. The new contribution rate, huh? Oh, I thought it was sharing.
I looked over my shoulder to see if it was
sharing.
Yeah,
that's what. Share. I thought we were looking there too.
Okay.
There it is.
There it is. All right, so the new rate is 19.98. The current rate right now is 18.73, so it's going up 1.25%. The breakdown is 14% is the employer portion. That has not changed. The required member portion is now 5.98%, and it only affects the required member contribution in the Tier 2 plans. So, what it does is it takes the Tier 2 pickup from 4.73 to 5.98, which I said is 1.25% increase. under Utah code, the employer has the option to pick up that required amount for the employees, which we have always done in the past. Right now, that pickup goes into the employee's 401k account, the additional amount. Actually, no, that doesn't. That goes to the URS. The pickup election does have to be authorized by formal board resolution. We cannot do a resolution that just says now and any other former, you know, next year, future updates, because they want hands-on. You've seen the document. You know how much it's going to change every time. So they want a new resolution every year. So this year, for the increase, since it does not start until July 1st, so based on the 1.25% increase, our impact this year is $16,000. Between this year and next year, about $33,000, but half of that will go in next year's budget. It is only for the full-time employees that are in the Tier 2 system. And so this impact right here assumed all employees were in Tier 2. But right now we have three that are in Tier 1, 2?
I think there's two.
Two in Tier 1.
So you and Kurt
are... You and Kurt are the...
It's Chris.
It's Chris. So it's Kirk and...
Chris.
Chris.
So, you know, this will go down a little bit, so probably closer to 15,000. Because it only affects the Tier 2s. The URS explanation is they indicated that they had a higher than expected salary growth over the past several years. Chief and I are laughing about that because we don't know, you know, who got the salary or wasn't here. 2020 legislative changes that increased the value of the Tier 2 benefits and updated actuarial projections. So they're saying now that salary growth is now a significant cost driver in the Tier 2 contribution increases. So it's probably just going to continue to go up every year. Again, it takes effect on July 1st. It must be adopted by a resolution prior to July 1st. And that's your decision tonight, is if you want to approve the increase from 4.73 to 5.98. If you do not approve it, then the employees will be taking that back on. So, with that, just a quick modification to the policies. I just kind of updated the language a little bit, so it was we only had two lines in there. We've elected to pick it up based on this resolution. I thought, well, we need to beef that up a little bit. So. Specifically say that it's specifically authorized by the board, shall not exceed the member contribution rate established by URS. So we're not going to say if the URS is saying the mandatory rate is 5.98, we're not going to say we're going to contribute 7.
Correct.
Right? So we will only do that part. And it will remain in effect until rescinded by the board. And then I also, we're gonna skip the all the Roth stuff, but I also updated the rate equalization part of our policy. So for those of you that know, Daniel, you may not know, we do have a rate equalization policy with our retirement system. So what that means is that the different retirement funds have different rates. So right now we're learning that Tier 2 firefighters and public employees are going up to 19.98%. If the Tier 1 rate is, say, only 17%, then we are giving them an additional 2.98 to match, so everybody's getting 19.98. And vice versa. If Tier 1 was higher, we would give a boost to the Tier 2 employees, so everybody's doing a rate equalization. And that was something that the board had put in place when we first got into the U.S., and we've continued to do so. So I just kind of cleaned up the language a little bit, made it very clear. The previous language was it was kind of vague. It said what we were doing and wanted, but not really specific. So this is just more specific that we are doing this, and the rate equalization, when we give it that little bit more, that does go into the employee's 401k account. If they don't have one, then it makes one for them, so they get that little tiny bit in that 401k. So this part of the policy, if you approve the pickup election, I would ask that you approve these sections of the policy so I can get these sections updated. The rest of it, the Roth and the matching, we can update next time.
Great.
Okay.
Next is, so that was the first bullet under new business, right?
Yes, that was the pickup election. Okay. Oh, I got them wrong. So we're on HSA now.
Yep.
Okay. Hold on, I got it here again. Oh, so much today. Okay, so we have the option now to... I can't get into it. We were asked by our health insurance if we wanted to offer an HSA to the employees. So we kind of put some of the information out there for all the employees and did get some feedback back that they would love to have one. So in order to have it, we do need to have board approval on it just to get it added to our plan. With an HSA, it's obviously a medical health savings account. So there is a premium involved in that, which as the district, I would propose that we continue to pay the 90% of the employee's monthly premium, just as if they were taking a regular medical plan.
Right.
And to be clear, so that the board knows, everybody else knows, the premiums, the amount of the premiums, do not go into the HSA bank. So the only way that that builds up is if the employee puts money into it. So instead of, you know, paying their money at the doctor, they put it into their HSA, and then when they go to the doctor, they can pull it out of the HSA. So for some employees, it's very advantageous. For others, maybe not. So not everybody's going to choose it. But in order to do it, we are asking for board approval. We are not asking for you can do an employer match, but at this time we are not asking for a match on this particular one because, you know, we don't want to do too much. So if you do the other one, so that's here. Our health insurance, I did update the policy as well to include that. It's considered a high deductible health plan.
Right.
Because it is a high deductible, it's a $3,500 deductible. So if that's chosen, you have to pay that amount first. You still have a max out of pocket. Our representative talks to us. He's been putting into it every year and hardly ever used it. He's up to $87,000 in his HSA. And it's not a user, you lose it. It rolls over every year and it stays with you. Even if you leave your employer, it goes with you. It stays with you. So I've updated the policy. Did you guys get a chance to kind of read through any of the updates?
Do
you have questions on anything? I just added all the HSA language to the policies.
So if the employee would be responsible for any HSA fees, an HSA sometimes
will
require...
Yes, so there is a 99-cent administration fee per employee that we get billed for. So
if every employee chose it,
it would maybe be $20 a month.
Okay.
But so yes, we pay the 99 cents, and that comes on our bill from Select Health.
Mm-hmm.
The premiums... You know, they're the employee's responsibility, but as an employer, we have always opted to pay 90% of the premiums, and that's what we've done. So that's
health
why
insurance
I'm,
premiums.
That's why I'm proposing that same structure with this.
Okay.
So, okay.
Okay.
And just for everybody's reference, as you pay the bills every month, you see that Select Health as much
mm-hmm.
as
yeah.
how much we pay.
Yes, so
it is significant.
Yeah.
Let me I have
Who's paying?
Here we go.
90%.
So this is basically the breakdown of our policy
yeah.
that we've been offered. And it did. I mean, overall, our policy is going up about 17%, and that's the rate of policies these days. So it's about a $30,000 increase, but we budgeted for that already. So these are the plans we'd be offering.
And that happens every year to state, county.
Yeah.
We used to get it.
Our renewal
right
now is March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking to him about changing it to a January 1st renewal.
For the year.
We're in line with everything. But right now we're on a March 1st. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. All right, next on the list, I'm going to skip the inland port updates because we've had a couple of those. Purchase of the command truck for the deputy fire chief from Ken Garth, West Valley.
I can do that, or you can do that.
Go ahead.
Okay. anything else. So Chief Brown went down, and he's been looking for trucks. Ken Garf is Ken Garf West Valley is an approved purchaser on the state contract, so that required that we did not need to go out for RFP on this. He was able to find a 2024 Dodge Ram with how many miles? Like 13,000 miles on it. For $48,800.57.
Nice.
And if it's approved today, I've got the check ready to sign, and he'll go get it tomorrow.
Nice.
We are asking in the resolution to approve up to $75,000 for the entire build out, because we still have to put lights, radios, striping, everything on it, and that is in our budget. And it will come out of the capital projects fund.
Okay.
So.
Excellent.
Any questions on that?
Nope.
Great.
What are we going to do with the old one?
Thanks.
Buck gets a new truck.
I was going to say.
So Buck gets a short bid then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like what?
How many miles does it have on it now? 200,000?
142.
Okay.
Don't take it on the paper.
Plenty.
Is that the death wall?
Okay.
Yeah.
Review of fractional HR RFP submission?
So we put out an RFP for HR services.
Yeah.
We received 2.5 responses back.
I say we don't go with
that. Yeah.
We're only going to cover half of you.
We could say 3. Two of them did not meet minimum requirements. And one of them that, you know, had they answered a few more questions, if they could have met minimum, they were still way out of budget. So the selection committee made of the other three chiefs reviewed all the contracts, and Pine Canyon HR Consulting, $28,000 a year, which is much less than we had budgeted and anticipated for. So we
that's
were
great.
Kind of happy with that one.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't know whether to be happy or sad.
Yeah. monthly retainer of... $2,500 a month, but $28,000 a year.
That's we're getting to the point we can't do that.
Yeah.
So, you can't do it all yourself.
No.
Right.
So,
can't
so that's
go without.
So that resolution is also on your action for tonight.
Excellent. Okay. Time for public comment. Twice in one night.
He's been gone a couple.
As you guys noticed, as we went through everything, we did focus a lot tonight on retention. And as an employee, as my group is here, A-Shift is here, B-Shift is here, we would like to say thank you for at least considering a lot of these packages. They're very important to us, and we feel like that this is some of the things that we can go to for the new kids coming in and for us that are trying to stay. Thank you very much. It means a lot to us.
Kirk, we've got a lot of time and money invested in you guys. We don't want to lose anyone.
No. And that was one of the things that I was talking about, I was mulling over as I was putting my thoughts together, was that we have a lot of experience with the guys that we do have here. And I really appreciate the experience that I have on my crew. It's shown time and time again to me. And that's why I wanted to stand up and say thanks to my crew today, because the experience that they bring is huge, and I want the general public to understand how important that is, not only to us but to them, because it's paramount that we have that experience and we keep that experience. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Kirk. Anybody else? Kim?
I know you're sick of the inland port, but I forgot to add in, so I just want to thank Buck, because kind of where it got started was I was applying for a grant for port security, and Buck was great with pulling together, you know, the inland port and them donating the land really quick, and that's kind of where it all started. Unfortunately, we didn't get the grant, but it was a shot in the dark. It was actually for port security, kind of more on the security side, not on the
firefighting
safety side.
Oh. firefighting, safety, security.
It's all the
same
thing.
I think we did skip that. It was on the agenda in the report updates.
Yeah, we agreed to.
Oh, yeah, we knew.
We thought we had talked about
it.
Okay.
Yeah, we
that meeting, I mean, I had no idea what we were going into. I mean, email was so vague. So, yeah, it was great.
West. Anyway, yeah. Sorry, we didn't get it. But we'll try for other supplemental stuff.
Well, you know.
There, so we'll work with Charles, and we'll kind of look at like some economic development grants and see if it can help supplement with some of the apparatus or supplies out there. We'll try.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
Excellent. Yes.
Yeah. Rob Clausing, Lake Point resident. I just want to commend the district for. I'm still questioning what I heard. Paying 90%. The employees in health insurance premium. That's amazing. I've worked in the professional world for 35 years and I've never even heard of that before. So if you talk about retention, that's big.
No, like I said, I only get 50% from Uncle Sam. I have to cover the other 50.
Right. So yeah. So that's great. And that's a good incentive for retention. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody online? Nope. Okay. All right. So now it's action items. Resolution 2026-02, URS updated service agreement. Are we tabling that till next month? Oh, and that's right when my Kindle decided to go to sleep. Okay. Next is we're also tabling that for next month. Resolution 2026-04, Tooele County Special Ops MOU.
I propose that we approve Resolution 2026-4, Tooele County Special Ops MOU.
Okay.
Did you hear Mark?
Yeah, Mark.
Oh, thanks, Mark. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next is Resolution 2026-05, approval of HSA plan and related HSA policy. It's all right.
Oh, great.
I propose to approve the Resolution 2026-5, approval of the HSA plan and related HSA policy.
I'll second it.
I didn't know if I could.
Okay, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you bet.
You can. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Thanks, Mark. Okay. Next is Resolution 2026-06, approval of the purchase of a deputy chief truck from Ken Garf West Valley. Do we have a motion?
I propose that we approve 2026-06, approval of the purchase of the deputy chief truck from Ken Garf West Valley.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Next is Resolution 2026-07, approval of the fractional HR services.
I'll make a motion that we vote on Resolution 2026-07, approval of fractional HR services. With Pine Canyon HR services.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Next is the resolution. Oh, we're going to table. That's, yes.
We can do this one tonight. This is the pickup election.
Oh, okay. If we're going to go to
if
5.
You want to. Yes.
Okay.
4.73 to the 5.98.
Okay.
So we can?
You can do this one.
Okay. I propose that we approve Resolution 2026-8, approval of URS pickup election of 2026-27.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? Okay. Board calendar. It looks like a long one.
Okay. So March 14th, we've got our workshop.
8 a.m.
8 a.m. The 18th, so later, so that's Saturday, and the following Wednesday, we have board meeting, and we can approve anything that we discuss at the workshop if needed. We won't be doing any votes or approvals at the workshop.
Right.
April 15th, board meeting, and May 20th.
May 20th Stansbury graduation. Yeah, I don't know if it affects anybody. It is.
I won't be here.
I propose that let's move that to a different day.
I'd probably either do a different day of the week or go the week before then.
Like the
13th? The week after would be...
Yeah, Memorial Day.
13th would work.
Yeah, are we cool with moving into the 13th?
Yeah, 13th.
I'm good with that.
Okay. Great. And then next on the agenda is district events.
Nice. So we have Fire Recruit Academy, January 8th, that's hosted by Tula Army Depot. February 20th to the 21st, which is this weekend, we have fire instructor one class. And then March 9th through the 15th, we have March Mayhem. And in Idaho, I believe we have four people going. And then March 23rd, we have the Command Training Center coming here to Stansbury. March 23rd through the 27th, we have the WUMI Conference, which Chief Nunn and Don Walton they are presenting there. And I believe that's in Reno, Nevada?
Reno.
Okay. And then April 19th to the 26th, we have FDIC, and we have two firefighters attending that. May 5th through June 20th, we have ADO Pumper Class here at North Tula. And then following that, June 23rd to July 18th, we have ADO Aerial.
That's nice.
And then May 18th through the 29th, we are scheduling elementary school field days. I think we have two or three already signed up. Those are coming. That's it.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Kaylee.
Yep.
All right.
School out before the 29th? Oh no, that's last.
Oh,
yeah, I think it is.
I don't know.
We don't have any kids'
weekends.
Yeah,
just did
the 22nd. I think is the last day because
yeah.
They don't do the week after Memorial Day.
I don't know anymore.
I don't have kids in school, and my wife doesn't teach anymore.
I know
anymore,
my sister
so.
Is graduating the 29th of May.
But I bet that's all like.
Yeah.
Okay. Any public concerns? Kirk.
I have one.
Okay.
We partner with Utah DNR. Quite heavily, and our Wasatch Front Forestry Management Officer, FMO, his name is Brett Waters, and he came down with cancer, and it's extensive, and so he's been medically retired, and he's being sent home. Chief Brown and I went to visit him in the hospital. And he's not doing well, so it's kind of one of those where fire service is not kind to some.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
Anyhow,
Kirk had something.
That brought up something else. The Utah firefighter cancer screening initiative invited a select few of individuals to participate, and I was one of them. I haven't finished reading my entire report, but basically it said I'm old, and good luck with that. So I do want to say thanks to Chief and the district for allowing me that opportunity to participate in that. I think the information that we're going to get from that is going to be good long-term. Thanks.
Thank you, Kirk. Okay, anybody else? Anybody online?
No.
Okay. Do we need a closed session?
No.
No? Okay.
I did not request one.
Okay. So. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion that we adjourn the February 18th session.
Okay. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? We are adjourned at 19:40.
You film better, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
Give these to these.
Is Mark sick?
Yeah.
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 Yeah.